Well, take your Bibles and go to Galatians chapter 5 to begin this morning. Today is Sunday, October the 17th, 2021. Wow, this month's going by fast. Galatians chapter 5, and in verse 1 it says, "Stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing." In other words, if you're going to go the route of the law, then Christ shall profit you nothing. "For I testify again to everyone that is circumcised, he's a debtor to do the whole law. Christ has become of no effect unto you, whosoever of you are justified, made right in God's eyes by the law. You're fallen, you've drifted from grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision avails anything nor uncircumcision, but faith or believing, which works or is energized by love." Isn't that interesting? Now, you probably are aware that through the centuries, the order of the seven church epistles, Romans, Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Thessalonians, that order has never changed through the centuries. Other books in the Bible have different order, but that has never changed, and that's definitely God protecting his word. The Romans section, Romans, Corinthians, Galatians. Romans is doctrine. Corinthians is reproof. And Galatians, where we are now, is correction. Then in the Ephesians section, Ephesians is doctrine, Philippians is reproof, and Colossians is correction. And then Thessalonians stands all by itself because there's no reproof or correction. We're going to get gathered together, so we can't mess that up. But Romans, the book of Romans, is the foundation for believers. Perhaps maybe that's why Martin Luther had such a great respect for the book of Romans. It's the foundation, it's the starting point for born-again ones. The reproof in the Corinthian epistles shows you where you're missing the foundation, where you're off track. Then the correction in Galatians gets you back to the foundation, the book of Romans. That's why if you miss it in Galatians, where do you go? Oblivion. There's nowhere else to go. You go into legalism. You go into works by the law. You've lost the freedom. You're in bondage if you miss the correction that Galatians is trying to bring you back to the foundation. So I just wanted to point that out as we get rolling here in Galatians 5. So, verse 7, he says, "You did run well." You were doing great. "Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? This persuasion doesn't come from him that called you." Now, yes, Paul was writing, this letter went to the churches in that part of the world, Galatia. But it is also part of the word of God to all believers. Okay? So in those instances where someone was doing well, but now where are you going? And if you're familiar with the book of Galatians, it's not an easy read. Paul is like, "What is up with you people? What are you doing? How did you get what?" You know, it's kind of blunt and to the point. It ought to be, because where are you going to go afterwards? So he says, "You did run well. Who did hinder you? Who's impeding you? Who's distracting you from the truth?" Now, there was some reproof about this in Corinthians. We'll come back here, but look at 2 Corinthians 11. It's not too far back, but 2 Corinthians 11, verse 3, when he was writing reproof to the Corinthians, And reproof to you and I, if we need this reproof, in 2 Corinthians 11:3, but I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. And then we just read in Galatians, who did hinder you? Who's impeding you? Where's it come from? From our adversary. And you know what? Go to Romans chapter 16. This was also mentioned in the foundation, Romans. So you see, you've got the foundation in Romans, and then you got the reproof in Corinthians, and now we're in Galatians. You better wake up. In Romans chapter 16, verse 17. Now I beseech you, Romans 16, 17. I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions, and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. Avoid people that are causing divisions concerning the doctrine. And there was a lot of that in the first century. Paul said, saved by grace. And other people said, no, you have to get circumcised. You still need to do the law. You still need... For they, look at verse 18, they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ. What do they serve? Their own belly, meaning themselves. And look at this, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. Deception always comes with good words and fair speeches. Nobody ever walks up and goes, I'd like to deceive you right now. Okay, go ahead. It's always good words and fair speeches. So back to Galatians 5 where we were. Verse 7. You did run well. Who did hinder you? Who's impeding you that you should not obey the truth? This persuasion comes not of him that called you. And so, as you know, Galatians is addressing specifically legalism. Being justified by doing the works of the law. Do this, and then you'll be right in God's eyes. But of course, Romans already taught us that Christ is the end of the law. That Christ fulfilled all of that for us, right? And that's what gave us freedom. Verse 1 from Reverend Cummins, the Working Translation, he translates verse 1 of chapter 5 of Galatians. Christ freed us with freedom. Therefore, stand fast and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. Verse 8, this persuasion comes not of him that called you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. God is not the author of confusion. And leaven in the Bible was something they put in the bread to sweeten it. And that leaven, that sweetness, would permeate the entire loaf. And he says a little leaven leavens the whole lump. Verse 10. I have confidence in you, through the Lord, that you will be none otherwise minded. But he that troubles you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. The people that are troubling you, the people that are trying to bring you back into legalism, people that are causing this, where he said, you did run well, who did hinder you? Look at chapter 1, verse 7. This came up. Well, actually, chapter 1, verse 6. I marvel, I'm blown away, I'm sort of shocked that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. And then in chapter 3, verse 1, I told you this is a blunt book. Oh, foolish Galatians, you foolish people. Who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth crucified among you? Who's bewitched you? Who's doing this to you? What are you listening to? And, you know, maybe in our way of speaking, you're listening to garbage. It's not the truth. So back to chapter 5. Verse 11, and I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased.
I would they were even cut off that trouble you. For brethren, you have been called unto liberty, freedom. Only use not liberty or your freedom for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. That is really what I want to focus on this morning. God's word telling us by love serve one another. The confusion in our world today, the fear, the division, doctrinally as well as culturally. None of this is coming from God. God's not the author of confusion. God's not spreading fear. You know, we know the scriptures say we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. There is evil in this world, and that's not going to change. We're not going to wake up one day and, you know, our adversary, the devil, just moved to Pluto. There's evil in this world, and that's why God's word says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And then it says that we should put on the whole armor of God, right? We read that in Ephesians. But what did Romans tell us? The foundation. Go back to Romans chapter 13. What did God tell us in Romans? The foundation. In chapter 13 of Romans. One place. I'm just picking a couple of places here. But Romans 13, 10. Love, there's a lot about love in God's word. Love works no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. Wake up. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night's far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. God covered that for us in Romans, in the book of Romans. So we just read in Galatians, by love serve one another. That's why we have the liberty that we have. Back to Galatians 5 again. Verse 13 again. 5:13. For brethren, you've been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Our enemy, the adversary, wants nothing better than for confusion, fear, and division to infect the body of Christ, the believers. Whether it's a little fellowship or a huge big church, doesn't matter. That's what his goal is, for fear, confusion, division to infect the body of Christ, both doctrinally from the word and culturally. Get believers divided, fighting, full of fear on things going on in our culture. And you know, it's we've said this before, the stuff going on in our country, it's not about political parties. It's not about being patriotic. There will be no special lines at the gathering together for the vaccinated and the unvaccinated. How can it be any of that, right? By love, serve one another. Not criticize, not judge, not ostracize. And you know something? Romans was really clear about this in a number of places. You might be familiar with chapter 12 of Romans, where it said to be renewed in your own mind, right? We're to renew our minds. Not to be fashioned by this world, but to renew our minds. And then get busy doing whatever it is you do best. Everybody has something they can do well. Do whatever it is you do best and serve, right? It also says in that chapter 12 of Romans,
love without hypocrisy. You know what hypocrisy is? It's like two-faced. It's like you wear a mask. Then Romans 14 and 15, it'd be nice to, or rather Romans 13 talks a lot about love, doesn't it? Yeah. It says in Romans 13 that love is the fulfilling of the whole law. Then you get to chapters 14 and 15. It says, stop judging your brothers and sisters. Go around judging them. And by the way, don't be a stumbling block either. It's amazing how much is in the book of Romans as the foundation. Then you get to Corinthians, where Paul's like, I hear there's these divisions going on among you. Oh, somebody's going, oh, I like Paul. No, I like Apollos. He's better. And Paul's like, stop it. And we read in Corinthians, there's one body, and we are all members in particular, and we're all needed and important members in the body of Christ, right? And so here we are in this correction epistle of Galatians. We better get this. And again, verse 13. Brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. Who would want us to bite and devour one another? God doesn't. Our enemy would. Sure. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. By love serve one another, and utilize the Spirit of God that we have. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary, the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. It's really interesting when you see some of this stuff in God's Word. And I've said this before, and I really believe this now more than ever. We as believers need to love each other more. Love each other more. Despite differences of opinions. Last week, I talked about how our number one priority in life, I really believe this, the number one priority in life is our personal relationship with God. Not how big we love people, not how great we serve, not how smart we are, not what a great education we have. Our number one priority in life is our personal relationship with God. So we stay faithful to the Word of God that we know. We stay faithful to that. And we keep growing and learning. After that, by love, serve one another. We love our brothers and sisters. We're to be especially good to the born-again ones, despite their weaknesses and immaturity. Because obviously we don't have any weaknesses or immaturity at all, right? Despite that. And then after that, we share the light of God's word to others. That's our lifestyle. And really, when they asked Jesus Christ, what's the greatest commandment? He said, love God with your whole heart, mind, soul, and strength. That's your personal relationship. And he said, and the second is like unto it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Upon these two, that's the whole law. And that's why we read in Romans, the law is fulfilled in love. It fulfills the whole law. And we read that here too as well. We can't allow all this fear, confusion, division to get into the church. We can't allow it. There are born-again ones today at this very moment trying to make a decision. Do I just lose my job? Or do this. And in getting fired for not doing something, they have it set up to where you don't get any unemployment benefits. What do I do? Well, you know, they have their decision to make, and it's theirs to make. It's not mine to judge. It's not mine to criticize. You know, we have brothers and sisters that are going through all kinds of different things. And so all of this stuff that's going on, we can't allow fear, division, and confusion to infect the body of believers. By love, serve one another. Let's just love each other and help each other and encourage one another, right? Let's go back to verse 13 again. How many times is he going to read it? For brethren, you have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary, the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you bite and but if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Hallelujah. Isn't that great? Be led of the Spirit, then you're not under the law. And now, take a look at this list coming up here in Galatians. And see if you think our adversary is promoting any of this. Ready? Verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I've also told you in time past, they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Quite a list. Quite a list. But, in contrast to all of that, the fruit of the Spirit is first thing listed. Love. Love. Joy. Peace. Long-suffering. Gentleness. Goodness. Faith. Meekness, temperance, against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, then let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. No, what are we supposed to do? Verse 13, by love serve one another. Brethren, verse 1, chapter 6, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear you one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if someone thinks himself to be something when he's nothing, he's deceiving himself. But let everyone prove his own work. Then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For everyone shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teaches in all good things. Be not deceived, God's not mocked. For whatsoever man sows, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And look at verse 10. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all, especially unto those who are of the household of faith, especially the believers. We're to be especially good to the born-again ones. We go out of our way. We overlook weaknesses and immaturity. We love, and we love. And do you know what Jesus Christ said to his disciples? He said, by this shall all people know that you're my disciples, by the love you have one for another. Isn't that interesting? He didn't say by the love you have for all people, by all the good works you do, by doing miracles. By this shall all men know you're my disciples, by the love you have one for another. Wow. Before we close in Thessalonians, go to Ephesians. We're going to read two prayers that are in Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1. And in verse 15, 1:15, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. What a loving thing for Paul to do. So many of the epistles that you read where Paul says, oh, I'm praying for you, I cease not to pray for you. Paul was a praying man. And sometimes I think on when he traveled, You know, we travel, we can, you know, in 3 hours be hundreds of miles away. For them to go hundreds of miles, it was weeks. Yeah. What do they do on the whole trip? Here I am on the donkey or the camel or whatever, or walking. Had a lot of time. I bet they prayed a lot. I mean, he said all these people that he prayed for. And so now here's a prayer. And this prayer that we read here in chapter 1 and in chapter 3 is scripture. So it is a prayer that comes from the heart of God, not just to the Ephesians, the people there in Ephesus. This is God's prayer for you and I. So we can make it personal. This is God's desire for us. We can make it personal. That verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you. And you know, you could read that sometimes and just say me when you read it. Sitting there with coffee or tea. I think I'll read this prayer that God has for me. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of my understanding being enlightened, that I may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to me when I believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that's named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and has put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that fills all in all. That's God's prayer for each one of us. And so is chapter 3, the prayer in chapter 3. Verse 14, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you. So make it personal when you read it. This is God's desire for me, that he would grant me. Me. God wants this for me? Who am I? It's like that one psalm says, who is man that you should be mindful of him? The creator of the heavens and the earth cares about us? Yes. We are his dear children. And he had his word written to us so we wouldn't be stupid, so we wouldn't be ignorant, so we could walk with love and power in our lives. That he would grant me, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in my inner man, that Christ may dwell in my heart by believing, that me being rooted and grounded in what? Love. May be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ that passes knowledge, that I might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all I ask or think, according to the power that works in me, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Wow. Isn't that awesome? That's God's prayer for us. And so, I'd like to close in Thessalonians chapter 4. We, you and I, every born-again believer that's alive on the planet right now, we are God's people living in this day and time and hour. We are the ones that God has for this time in history. And we ought to live for him. And we ought to follow what his word has told us until Christ returns. And I think you're very familiar with 1 Thessalonians 4, beginning in verse 13, about Christ coming back. And it's such an exciting section to read. But this morning, I'd like to read what comes right before that. So we start in verse 1 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as you have received of us how you ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound more and more. For you know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. You know, be holy before the Lord. Not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles, which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such. And as we have forewarned you and testified, for God's not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. He therefore that despiseth, meaning those that reject the words that Paul is preaching, doesn't despise man, but God who has given us his Holy Spirit. But as touching brotherly love, you don't need that I should write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And indeed, you do it toward all the brethren, which are in all Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that you increase more and more. Love, bigger. I think we need to, in this day and time we live in, love our brothers and sisters more. And that you study to be quiet and to do your own business and to work with your own hands as we commanded you, that you may walk honestly toward them that are without and that you may have lack of nothing. Don't be a big busybody worried about what everybody else is doing and pointing your finger at all this. We love God, first priority, our personal relationship with God. After that, by love, serve one another. Take care of our brothers and sisters. And then after that, we endeavor to speak God's word to anyone that will listen for an open door. If God directs you to do something else along those lines in light of situations, good. Let God direct you, not emotions. Not emotions. And then he goes on, and you've read this before, about the return of Christ, that Christ is coming back. So, in summary, by love, serve one another. Shall we pray? Almighty God, you are so good, so kind, and you are love. It is your very nature. And it is because you so loved the world that you gave your only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. The everlasting life that we have from you, Father, is because of your great love. And in your word it says, we love you because you first loved us. Thank you for the great love that you have for each one of us, and that your word says nothing can separate us from that love. Father, may we in turn, as your children, children of a God of love, extend that love to everyone we meet, and especially to our brothers and sisters. Thank you for calling us to this wonderful family, this wonderful body that we belong to with Jesus Christ as our head. And Father, as we look for that great day when you send him back, until then, may you help us. Father, when we have situations that we need your help and your attention, that we could trust you and rely upon you, and that, Father, we could also have the opportunity to love one another. And I thank you for this in the name of the one who loved you and did your will and finished your work, our wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.